Okay, let's start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we're here this Sunday morning, Lord. We want to start our day with you. And we want to worship you, Lord. Father God, as we get ready to read from your word, I just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit and minister to us, Father. We try so hard to get closer to you, and on our own, we just fail at it. We need your help in it. So, Lord, minister to each person here this morning. Let them take something with them that will help them in the future and make them stronger. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read a verse out of Isaiah. It says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." When you read that and you think about it, you think about God, and he's so far above us, it's real hard for us to imagine even being on the same plane with him. And there's another verse on the read right after that. It says, "Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways." Well, if we're supposed to keep God's ways, but his ways are so much higher than ours, how could we ever imagine to do that? Now, you hear me talk a lot about blowing the dust off the Bible and reading and, you know, stuff, studying the word. And it can be pretty intimidating to do that. I know you open the Old Testament and you read in there, you know, some of it, and if it isn't explained to you by somebody, boy, you can really get into a mess about what you're reading. So, I want to read one more verse. Actually, it's a couple of them. It's out of 1 Corinthians. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligent I will frustrate." Now that says it again. I mean, we said his ways are higher than ours, so I question how we can follow his ways if they're that much higher. And then it says here in Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to those of us who are perishing. So I guess we have to start, first of all, I guess we got to make sure we're not part of that crowd. And it all starts by knowing Jesus. First of all, we got to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It all starts right there. If we don't have that, just like the Bible says, the cross really is foolishness. And if you think about it, you read some of that it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, you know. You talk about being washed in the blood and all this stuff. And to somebody that don't believe in the Bible, like, what the heck are these people talking about? I mean, I can just imagine. I mean, I was there at one time. I was raised in the church all my life, and I was still confused and didn't understand it. But there's something happens when you make a decision for Jesus Christ, when you take that step of faith and say, okay, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came to this earth and you died for me to pay for the wrong that I do, because that's all sins are, it's just doing wrong. And I believe you rose 3 days later after they nailed you to the cross. If you make that decision, there's something that happens in your heart when you truly do that. You become a changed person. And I know for myself, when it happened to me, I still remember doing it. Now, I'm not a real feely type of person, and the next day, I'm like, well, I don't know if really anything happened. I mean, did I truly get saved? I mean, is this really what happened? I was so, I questioned it so much that the following Sunday, I stood up one more time and did it again, just make sure that this was the real thing, because I'm not a feely type of person. But when I started looking at the things that started bothering me, I remember we went out on, my wife and I both received Jesus the same day. And on Friday evening, we decided to go out and party with our friends and tell them what's going on and stuff. And I remember being in the bar, and we tried to drink a beer, and it just didn't taste right. Now, this is somebody that drank a minimum of a 12-pack a day. And for beer not to taste right to you, there's really something going on. But we just realized that all of a sudden, beer just wasn't the thing for us anymore. I'm not talking bad about somebody drinking a beer. I'm just talking about somebody like myself that was drinking excessively. I needed to get away from it. Then other things started changing in my life. You know, all of a sudden, cussing didn't feel like the right thing to do anymore. I work in construction. I was a foreman on a big retirement home, old folks home, and the language, you can just imagine what it was like on this job site, and all of a sudden that didn't feel right. All these things started happening that all of a sudden that I wanted to change, and it wasn't anything that I ever thought about before. And that's when you realize, when these things start happening, that you truly made a decision for Jesus Christ, and that there is truly a change that came into your heart. So don't just say a quick prayer and walk away. You got to really, you got to believe it in your heart. Well, that's the beginning of it. But we kind of got away from that first verse that I read. Now it says, I'll read it again. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Well, how do we get to where we can understand God's ways? Well, same thing I always say. We got to read the Bible. Without the Bible's the Word of God. And everybody has to come to their own conclusion on this. Now, me personally, the reason I believe it's the Word of God, because I can look at how many prophecies there in there that came true in the New Testament. I can look at the different authors that wrote the Bible and how far apart they lived and how everything fits. To me, when I look at all these things, I walk away without a shadow of a doubt. I know that has to be the Word of God, because human beings couldn't put that together like that. So, okay, now I established that that's the Word of God. So now how do I study this book? Well, a good place to start is the book of Proverbs. That's a really good place to start reading the Bible. And I want to read a few verses from the beginning of that. Starting in Proverbs 1:1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." Solomon was the king of Israel at the time. It says what this book is for. It says, "It's for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen, add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise." So hey, you read this book, there's a whole bunch you can learn, if we put that in just plain words. And it says it's for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Nothing wrong with that. Doing what is right, just, and fair. Hey, we all want to do the right thing. A lot of times we don't do it, but we really want to. And it says it's for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So there's a whole bunch of stuff in the book of Proverbs that can help us to live our life. But who's Solomon? I mean, who made this guy so smart? Why should we listen to something he wrote? And here's what I want to read. I want to read what they say about Solomon. It says, "God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore." Now, this guy was pretty smart, I would say. We keep reading. It says, "Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan the Israelite, wiser than Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations." Now, for somebody to be that smart, and have that much wisdom to where it spread throughout the nations, I would say, especially back then, there were no radios or no internet where you click the button and it's all over the world. People literally had to pass that on, so that's pretty amazing. And it goes on, he said, he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He described plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop and grows out of walls. He also taught about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. So he didn't just talk about God. He talked about a lot of other things also. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. I would say he's probably a pretty good person to listen to. So that would explain to me why God felt that Proverbs should be included in the Bible. I mean, this guy, he's got it going on, I would say. So it starts, first we got to know Jesus for the whole thing to make sense to us. Then, if we start just reading the book of Proverbs, I used to read one a day. Because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So you can read one a day. By the end of the month, you can start over because there's so much information in there that you can't retain it all. I start over and I still have to read it, and you just can't stay with it. I mean, the book is so deep, like Proverbs 1:5 said, it says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." In other words, this is not just a book for us regular people. Smart people can read this book and still get something out of it. So that's, in my mind, that is a good place to start for somebody to start studying the Word of God. I want to read a couple of examples of what it says just after, you know, where I stopped there at 1:6. I'm going to read 1:7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Now, if we think about that a little bit, you know, what is it talking about? It's talking about the fear of God. Now, fear of God, I don't think it means being scared to death of God. But I think it's putting God into the perspective of who he truly is. God is the creator of all this. He's the creator of us. And I would think that we would stand in awe and reverence of a God that is like that. I mean, look at the craziness that goes on with some of the rock stars, for instance, the following they get, or you go to a ball game. I mean, people are just all over that, man. They're just like, whoa, yeah, going, they're going crazy. Now, somebody that can do all this, I would think that he would deserve a lot of reverence. And I think that's what it's talking about when it talks about the fear of God. I don't think it talks about being scared to death. And I want to read another part. See, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." In other words, when we put God in that position, the reason that's the beginning of knowledge, because all of a sudden we can look at what he said and take it as the real thing. I want to read another verse here. Well, actually, I should finish that first verse. It says, the second half of it, it says, "But fools despise wisdom and discipline." In other words, those of us that fear God and we want his knowledge, we still also have fools out there that despise wisdom and discipline. They don't want to follow God. I know you run into a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but then when you look at their life, they just live however they want to. They just really don't care about what God does. And the Bible calls them fools. I'm not calling them fools. The Bible does. And I was reading on that, I was reading a commentary on it. It says, "Those who hate knowledge and correction of any kind, who are quick to quarrel and give good full vent to their anger, who are complacent and who trust in themselves rather than in God." That's what this commentary said a fool is. Well, I hope I'm not one of them. I'm a lot of things, but I don't think I'm one of them, at least. Because I do care about what God wants. And that's one of the reasons I'm here this morning, because I want to give that all to you guys, and I hope you will all want what God wants. And if you start, just try it. Read a book of one chapter out of Proverbs every day. Proverbs 1:8, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching." See, there's real basic instructions that you can get out of the book of Proverbs. In other words, sometimes dad does know what he's talking about. I know in my case, when I was young, my dad knew absolutely nothing. When I got to be about 17, he was the dumbest man alive. Time I got to be about 25, he was a lot smarter. And now when I see him, he's 80 and I'm getting up there a little further. He's the smartest man I ever knew. But at 17, I didn't believe that. So the Bible is nice enough. If I'm 17 and I'm reading this, and it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching." I should probably listen to that, because God knows what he's talking about. It says, "They will be garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." Then the next verse, here's another real basic stuff. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them." Now, this is something that the young people face a lot more than the older people. They're in school, a lot of peer pressure. You're saved, you know Jesus, you love him with all your heart, then you're in school, and I don't care what it is, here's a little bit of weed over here, a little bit of cocaine over there. There's stuff everywhere that people are tempting you with, and it'd be real easy to say, that's okay, I'll do a little bit of it. Well, the book of Proverbs warns you against that, not because they don't want you to have any fun. It's not that God says, "I don't want you to have fun," but he knows what it'll lead to, the negative impact that it can have, so he warns us against it. And that's why I feel that is a perfect place to start for you to start studying the Word. When you get done with that, there's a whole bunch more you can study. You can start reading New Testament, first four books. That'll give you the life of Jesus. Book of Acts talks about the early history of the church. And you can just work your way through that. I'd make the Old Testament more of a later reading. But I guarantee you it will change your life if you read it every day. And that's the whole point of my message. It's a great thing to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's got to start with that. But it can't stop with that. You got to take it to the next level. It's just like riding motocross. You start as a beginner, but at some point you want to be an expert. And if you want to be an expert in being a Christian, you got to read the rule book. You got to read the directions. And you can become the expert at it. And the whole thing is us becoming like Jesus. I know I'm a long way from it still. But I know if I skip my Bible readings, and I'm not saying how often you got to do it, everybody... I explain it this way, some cars get 20 miles to a gallon, some cars get 40 miles to a gallon. Well, reading the Bible is the same thing. It's a fill-up. And some people don't need as big a fill-up as others. So there's no set rule as to what you got to do, as long as you do it. And with that, I'd like to close. Our God and Father, we love you so much. And Lord, it's so easy to stray away from you. It's so easy to not know what your ways are. As the Word says, your ways are higher than ours. So we have to seek out the wisdom of your Word. We have to look at the Bible. We have to read it. We have to study it. Discuss it amongst ourselves to where we can get a good understanding of it. And with that, we can get closer to you. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit because it is our helper. It can point out things to us in the Word and make us stronger. We are so thankful for all that. Lord, right now I ask that if there's any person here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior yet, that you would put it on their heart to make that first step. Make that initial step forward and say, "Yes, I want that in my life. I don't like it the way it is. I want it better." Lord, we thank you so much for that. Lord, as we get ready to race, we know we got rain to the north, and we're wanting to have a good time here and play in the dirt. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless it. Watch over us. Keep us dry if it be your will, Lord. And just let us have a good time. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.